next COVID-19 rescue bill in the Senate, still in a state of flux. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell sends senators home for the weekend, saying a Republican proposal would be ready on Monday as a $600 unemployment benefit boost is set to expire.
Speaker Pelosi says Senate Republicans should have acted months ago when the House did.
The Republicans are derelict in their duty, taking off for the weekend instead of being ready all these months.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has outlined the broad contours of a bill, and Pelosi says so far it includes cuts to enhanced unemployment benefits.
What do the Republicans and the White House have against working families?
This is not an extravagance, she says. It's basic survival.
It's about paying the rent, and it's about buying food.
Linda Kenyon, Washington.
The FAA put out an emergency order directing airlines to inspect and potentially replace a critical engine part on Boeing 737s following four reports of engines shutting down during flights. Boeing acknowledged that with planes being stored or used less during the coronavirus pandemic, the valve in question can be more susceptible to corrosion. Meteorologist Derek Van Dam says Tropical Storm Hanna is near hurricane strength as it moves toward the Texas coast.
Now, the storm surge threat is real, 3 to 5 feet, including the greater Corpus Christi region. Nonetheless, with the strong winds, will be heavy rainfall. So the potential leads to excessive flooding across that region with up to 10 inches of rain, even some higher amounts possibly.
More than 200 reported cases of salmonella spread over 23 states, with 31 people hospitalized due to the outbreak. The CDC has yet to identify the source of the bacteria. And a week of remembrances honoring the late Congressman John Lewis began today in his home state of Alabama on the campus of Troy University. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
You can't quite hear a pin drop, but correspondent Ed Levendera says Major League Baseball has a whole new feel about it with no fans in the stands.
No matter where you sit, alone in a sea of empty seats, it's a surreal experience watching Major League ballplayers like this. All the sounds are eerily amplified. The pop of the ball hitting leather gloves, the crack of the bats. What's even stranger for the Texas Rangers is that the team was supposed to unveil a brand new $1.2 billion stadium this year. It's a shiny new car with no one to ride in.
After a week of searching and several rejections, the Toronto Blue Jays decided to play most of their home games this season at their AAA ballpark in Buffalo, New York. And the Atlantic Coast Conference and Notre Dame, considering whether the Fighting Irish will give up their football independence for the 2020 season and play as a member of the league. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Picture this. A shortage of fuel has closed your electric utility, or any other possible disaster devastated your town. You're out of power. No lights. No news. That's why federal and state agencies urge you to have an emergency radio. Now you can get a free Dynamo World Band Emergency Radio. This powerful radio lets you stay informed during any type of emergency. It doesn't even need batteries. It comes with a hand crank generator and super bright LED flashlight. The Dynamo Emergency Radio includes the NOAA Weather Band, a long-range AM receiver, a high-sensitivity FM band, and even a USB jack to charge cell phones or other devices. The Dynamo Emergency Weather Band Radio retails for almost $30, but Newsmax wants to make sure you get this radio. So check out the free offer for the emergency radio by going to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com. Or call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX. That's 877-NEWSMAX. This radio could save your life. This offer may end soon, so order today.
Some slowing traffic on 95 southbound between the Beltway and Backlick Road in Springfield. There is some road work along the left side of the roadway. Two right lanes get by, but traffic is slow through that area. On 395 northbound between the Beltway and Etzel Road, there is still some construction there in the left lane. Watch for a brief delay there. And also be aware that the Beltway Express lanes northbound between the Express Lane entrance south end and Lee Highway in Annandale closed for construction until about 8 o'clock this morning. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Some patchy fog early this morning. That'll burn off pretty quickly. A stray afternoon shower or storms, not out of the question. Highs around 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the 70s. For your Sunday, plenty of sunshine. It will be hot. Highs back in the mid-90s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Justin Ho for the Marketplace Minute. The economy is changing so fast, it's hard to keep up.
Pfizer stock is surging on positive
air travel
in the age of COVID. Some economists caution job gains will not be sustained.
Give us just a minute of your time, and we'll bring you the latest on what's happening in the economy, three times a day. We'll tell you what you need to know and why it matters, all in 60 seconds. Just ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute, or find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. A shortage of fuel has closed your electric utility, or any other possible disaster devastated your town. You're out of power. No lights. No news. That's why federal and state agencies urge you to have an emergency radio. Now you can get a free Dynamo World Band emergency radio. This powerful radio lets you stay informed during any type of emergency. It doesn't even need batteries. It comes with a hand crank generator and super bright LED flashlight. The Dynamo emergency radio includes the NOAA weather band, a long-range AM receiver, a high-sensitivity FM band, and even a USB jack to charge cell phones or other devices. The Dynamo emergency weather band radio retails for almost $30, but Newsmax wants to make sure you get this radio. So check out the free offer for the emergency radio by going to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com. Or call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX. That's 877-NEWSMAX. This radio could save your life. This offer may end soon, so order today.
There's a lot going on in real estate, and now you're planning to sell. Who do you call and trust to get you the most money for your home and do it safely? I've got your answer. I'm Larry O'Connor, and I'm here to tell you about the only real estate team I recommend, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds, with the Reynolds team, Keller Williams Realty. Sarah and Debbie will guarantee to sell your home at 100% of your asking price, or they'll pay you the difference. Listen, there's a difference between getting your home sold and getting your home sold right. Getting your home sold right means more money in your pocket, not just getting it sold. Sarah and Debbie get their sellers $32,500 more on average. For Kendra Miller, the Reynolds team sold her home right. Kendra received 19 offers and sold for the highest sale in the neighborhood. Call the Reynolds team today at 844-344-SOLD. 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Dear Novak, I like that our usage is updated monthly through the website, so I can see what we're using.
Dear Novak, I have lived here for 11 years, and my power has only gone out once. Prices are reasonable, and communications are frequent.
Dear Novak, you help protect the environment, offer excellent customer service, and help protect wildlife. Thank you, Novak.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Novak, power you can count on.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Nice to have you along. Jeff Wolf behind the console. Jane Houghton in our producer, of course, this morning. And plenty to cover, from the Redskins to the Nationals to COVID-19 to prescription drug prices to the campaign. A lot going on this morning. And we'll start it off with President Trump making an announcement late Friday afternoon about prescription drug prices. The president announcing 4 executive orders to lower drug prices. He signed those orders Friday afternoon. They include allowing certain drugs to be imported from Canada and making changes to the way that discounts are negotiated by middlemen called pharmacy benefit managers. And that's part of the process as those are passed on to Medicare patients. So the other order that's somewhat on the radical side involves requiring Medicare to pay the same price for some drugs the ones patients receive in the hospital as part of Medicare B that other countries pay. Now, Trump said he's giving the pharmaceutical industry until August 24th to make a deal with him before he implements the executive orders. And this is how the president opened his remarks yesterday at the White House.
Today I'm signing 4 sweeping executive orders that will lead to massive reduction in drug costs. Massive. We've already gotten them down a little bit, but that's not good enough. First time in 51 years, as I said, but that's not good enough. They represent the most far-reaching prescription drug reforms ever issued by a president. Nothing even close.
And among the most important component there is that negotiation of the costs as they are passed on to Medicare patients. So hopefully some improvements coming in prescription drug pricing. Now, let's turn to the Washington Redskins, because obviously the name change after 87 years, big deal. Ron Rivera, the new head coach of the Washington Redskins, was on with Gail King on the CBS Morning News on Friday morning. And this is what he had to say in terms of the name change and where we are on that name change.
No, we're not close to making the decision. You know, the biggest thing that we've learned is that this is going to take steps. This can't happen automatically. So we're going to have to go through the process. You know, on July 3rd, we mentioned that we were going to go through a thorough check, a background check on everything. And we found that it's going to be a little bit harder than we had anticipated. I believe it was July 13th, we came out and said we were going to retire the name and the logo. And then yesterday we came out and said, you know, pretty much what we've done is we put a placeholder in terms of the name. So we are going to be known as the Washington Football Team, because truthfully, this is going to be about a 16 to 18 month process to do it the right way and really not miss the opportunity to rebrand ourselves, hopefully for the next 100 years.
And one of the big questions a lot of people are asking is, will the colors change? And Ron Rivera was asked that question.
No, the colors will stay. One of the things that, and the big reason probably is because there's so much tradition and history with this football team that, you know, to change the colors would kind of distract from what this team has done in terms of its past history with the championships that it's won. I mean, there was an era where they won 3 championships in about 10 seasons. So, you know, we don't want to lose that part of our history.
And another big question is, how will the new team's name and the team win over the fans?
You know, I'm one of those that grew up with the Washington Redskins, and I was a Redskin fan, you know, and I think the thing that people have to understand is that this is going to be a little bit of a transition. It's not going to happen immediately, but we're going to try and win the fans over by playing good football, more so than anything else, because, you know, when you play well, when you win football games, people get behind you and they support you. And, you know, we've got to come out and show our fan base that, hey, we're the same football team, just a different name right now, a little placeholder again, as I said, but, you know, we've got to do the things the right way. We've got to change the culture as to who we are, and really kind of not just rebrand the name, but rebrand the style of football we're going to play, rebrand the way we do things. And that's probably one of the most important things that we've got to do right now.
That's what we like, a winning coach. It is 6:14. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Virginia, you will find some slowing in Springfield on southbound 95 between the Beltway and Backlick Road, where there is construction along the left side. 2 right lanes do get by, but traffic is slow through that work zone. Now, also keep in mind this weekend that Beach Drive is closed in both directions between the Kensington Parkway and Knowles Avenue to facilitate social distance recreation. That also holds true for the Little Falls Parkway, which is closed between Massachusetts Avenue and Arlington Road. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies to start the weekend. Some patchy fog early this morning. That'll burn off pretty quickly. A stray afternoon shower or storms, not out of the question. Highs around 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the 70s. For your Sunday, plenty of sunshine. It will be hot. Highs back in the mid-90s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Currently in the nation's capital, it's 78 degrees at 6:15.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and of course we like to look at the immediate overnight news as an example. More protests in Portland, Oregon last night. The violence continues, even as federal agents are on hand, and we'll be talking more in depth about that with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer this morning, and also with John Gizzi coming up. But one of the things that happened this week at the White House that was significant, if you had a chance to watch the video of this, it was the announcement of the expansion of Operation Legend. It's a program that started in Kansas City to crack down on the violence and especially with these murders of young children that are happening in cities like Kansas City, Albuquerque, Chicago. And the announcement was made that they would be expanding from Kansas City on to Albuquerque and Chicago. And this is how President Trump summed up Operation Legend.
This bloodshed must end. This bloodshed will end. No mother should ever have to cradle her dead child in her arms simply because politicians refuse to do what is necessary to secure their neighborhood and to secure their city. Murderers and violent criminals are breaking a wide range of federal laws. We have that. It's as wide as it can be. We will find them, arrest them, and prosecute them. They will be in jail for many years to come.
And the Attorney General, Bill Barr, went into some further detail on Operation Legend.
Federal agents work hand in glove with state and local law enforcement every day. We supplement and provide support to local law enforcement, but violent crime is ultimately a problem that will be solved by state and local leadership in these cities, as the President said. Our announcement today is a demonstration of our commitment to the men and women who serve as police officers in Chicago, Albuquerque, and Kansas City. Your efforts to protect these communities are not forgotten. So too, this announcement and Operation Legend as a whole is also a commitment to the families of Legend Talaferro, Jackie Verhill, and Vernado James, that those names will not be forgotten. We will not rest until justice is delivered for your loved ones.
And, of course, that's Attorney General Barr speaking at the White House on Wednesday. And an important program that's going in to help the cities of Chicago. And finally, after a lot of back and forth between the mayor of Chicago and the president, she did agree to take the federal support. Now, there's sort of two things going on here. We'll get into a lot of detail with Tony Schaefer this morning about it. But you have the resources of the federal government, such as the FBI agents. You have the Department of Justice, attorneys, U.S. attorneys going in, U.S. marshals. That's one thing. And then in Portland, you got a little different situation where you actually have federal agents who are in there protecting federal property. And if you have seen any of the video coming out of Portland, you've seen the graffiti, the damage has been done to the courthouse. You probably won't see much of that video on MSNBC or CNN because they prefer not to show the damage that is being done in Portland and in these other cities. But if you were to see the video, you would see that the courthouse in Portland has been under siege. And Nancy Pelosi came up with a gem this week, and you know, it's funny, the Democrats are so critical of President Trump as being divisive, and the language that President Trump uses, the inflammatory language and the divisiveness and that he's creating in the country. Listen to this gem from Nancy Pelosi as she describes the federal support in Portland.
The use of stormtroopers under the guise of law and order is a tactic that is not appropriate to our country in any way.
Wow. So you have people destroying or attempting to destroy a federal courthouse, and we send in support, and Speaker Pelosi calls them stormtroopers. That's real nice coming out of the Speaker of the House. Good way to support our federal law enforcement. Well, Joe Biden ramping things up a little bit, too, talking about divisive language. Here's what Joe Biden had to say about the president being a racist.
We've had racists, and they've existed. They've tried to get elected president. He's the first one that has.
Wow. Now, you know, Charlemagne Tha God is the host of The Breakfast Club, and that's the show that Joe Biden was on and made the comment, you know, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. Well, Kid Charlemagne reacted to the comments of Joe Biden about Trump being a racist.
I really wish Joe Biden would shut the F up forever and continue to act like he's starring in the movie A Quiet Place, because as soon as he opens his mouth and makes noise, he gets us all killed.
Well, that's one response to Joe Biden's accusation. I'm sure a lot of people have other responses. We've got a lot more to come on the Saturday morning update. Obviously, we'll be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, John Gizzi coming up. Gordon Chang will join us, the very latest back and forth with China. As of this morning, that Chinese consulate in Houston that the United States asked China to vacate, China has vacated. It is now secured by U.S. agents, and the U.S. will be moving out of our consulate in Chengdu in China. Of course, that was China's response to our move on their consulate in Houston. We're going to talk about all of that, get the details from Gordon Chang coming up this morning. News on COVID-19, the coronavirus, where the numbers are, and ways that you can stay safe this summer, especially if you're planning to travel. Also with school coming up in the fall, we're going to talk to Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter. You've seen her a lot on Fox, on CBS, NBC. She's coming up within this hour. We'll talk with her about COVID-19 and the coronavirus. Interesting discussion coming up with Jonathan Jakubowski. He's authored a book called Bellwether Blues, and a lot of talk about the swing states, those bellwether states, which way they're going to go this fall, what are the polls showing us, what to look out for. And Jonathan's done an in-depth study there, and we're going to talk with him coming up also within this hour. As I mentioned, we've got John Gizzi coming up. Also, we're going to be talking with KT McFarland later on in the program. And of course, KT will have some very interesting insight on the release of those FBI documents this week. And the things that came out there, you've probably heard about that. And it's another topic we'll get in with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer in terms of the investigation into the Trump administration, even prior to them getting into the White House. So that's all coming up right here on the Saturday Morning Update. Do stay with us.
When you complete the 2020 census today, you're helping your community for the next 10 years. It's just a few questions like name, age, race, and sex. There are no questions about social security numbers or citizenship status.
The 2020 census is about how hundreds of billions of dollars are spent every year for the next decade on funding for hospitals and health clinics, emergency services, fire departments, and more. If you don't respond, you risk losing critical services.
And it also informs your congressional representation, so don't wait for a census taker to knock on your door. Respond today.
Count everyone living with you, including little kids and babies and even roommates.
Don't let your community miss out on funding for programs like Head Start and job training, since they help make a difference for a lifetime. The power to change your community is in your hands. Grab it.
The clock is ticking, but you still have time to make a difference. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov.
Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Your favorite things feel made for you. Your education should, too. University of Maryland Global Campus, formerly University of Maryland University College, was made to serve the military and working adults like you. Today, we continue that tradition by offering frequent start dates so you can get started with convenient online learning that fits your schedule, by recognizing your accomplishments with credits you can earn for what you know, by providing no-cost online resources replacing most textbooks, because a college education can fit your budget too. And with no SAT or GRE required for most programs. University of Maryland Global Campus, made for you. Learn the latest skills to get moving and get ahead. Earn an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate from the university that has been a pioneer in online learning for over 20 years. Classes start August 31st. Learn more at umgc.edu. That's umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
On Thursday evening, Marlowe Furniture will close early and work through the night to mark down thousands of items. Save up to 70% off furniture for every room, plus free delivery. You've never seen price cuts like our massive markdowns at Marlowe Furniture through Sunday, 6 p.m.
6:26, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. And President Trump out this week with some comments on COVID-19, and this is kind of how he summed it up earlier in the week as he's talking about the status of the fight against COVID-19.
It will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better. Something I don't like saying about things, but that's the way it is.
And obviously, you've heard all the criticism of the president about masks. Well, here's what the president said this week about wearing a mask.
I have no problem with the masks. I view it this way. Anything that potentially can help, and that certainly can potentially help, is a good thing. I have no problem. I carry it. I wear it. You saw me wearing it a number of times, and I'll continue. I'm getting used to the mask. And the reason is, think about patriotism. Maybe it is. It helps. It helps.
So that's president on COVID-19. Now, there are some numbers that are out from Johns Hopkins University, some stats that actually some somewhat more positive spin on where things are going with COVID-19 in terms of the stabilization in some of the states that have surfaced recently with flare-ups. And we've heard a lot about California recently. We've heard about Arizona. We've heard about Florida. And now the Johns Hopkins, of course, they have been following these case counts very closely. Johns Hopkins reporting that the case counts are falling in Arizona, falling somewhat in Florida, and also in New Jersey. They remain steady in Texas, California, Virginia, the Carolinas, and Georgia, and those are all areas that had been seeing upticks recently. So they do say that the case counts are steady in Texas, California, Virginia, Carolinas, and Georgia, and those case counts falling in Arizona, Florida, and New Jersey. And here's what Governor DeSantis had to say in Florida.
I do think South Florida, you know, is definitely stabilized, and I think Miami is showing some signs of improvement as well.
And again, coming up within the next half hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter about the very latest on COVID-19 symptoms, about these lingering effects that people are feeling even after they're pretty much recovered from the very serious components. There are these lingering effects, and we'll find out more on that coming up from Dr. Ungerleiter. So stay with us right here on the Saturday Morning Update.
Thompson Creek Window Company is celebrating 40 years in business. That's 40 years of experience, knowledge, and window replacement solutions for you, and 40 years of making your project easy. This is Marion. Thompson Creek is the only 40-year-old window manufacturer in the market selling direct to the consumer. They design, build, and install. One company that does it all. Now, this year is a bit different, right? We've been spending more time at home, noticing projects we want to tackle. We haven't been spending on vacations or dining out, so we can afford to get these projects done now while we have the extra time on our hands. Call now to save 40%. Buy one window, get one 40% off, including expert installation for a limited time. Plus, they have incredible finance options and many safe ways to serve you. There has never been a better time to buy. Call 855-57-CREEK now. You get more for your money at Thompson Creek. Call 855-57-CREEK today.
Home sweet Thompson. Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief, the best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
It's finally nap time. Rachel is depositing a check with the Wells Fargo mobile app.
Honey, have you seen my debit card?
Rachel is turning off her misplaced debit card.
There it is.
I can almost...
Oh, careful!
And turning it back on again. Bank anytime with Wells Fargo Mobile Banking. Rated number one in customer privacy and security. Just one of the many benefits of a Wells Fargo checking account.
Turning your debit card off is not a replacement for reporting your card lost or stolen. See our app for details. Ranking from Keynova Q1 2020 Mobile Banking Scorecard. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
In the news at this hour, the U.S. prosecutors on Friday unveiled charges against 18 Portland protesters, ranging from assaulting police to arson and trespassing. That's one day after the Trump administration expanded the deployment of tactical police to Seattle. The arrests came this week during clashes with specially equipped federal police agents sent to Portland. 56 straight days of anti-racism demonstrations capturing national attention prior to those arrests. The federal forces have drawn criticism from Democrats and civil liberties groups who allege excessive force and federal overreach by the president. The deployment of federal officers has also drawn the scrutiny of the Justice Department Inspector General, who's announced an investigation of their use of force, also prompting a federal judge to issue a temporary order limiting their use of force and blocking them from arresting journalists and legal observers of street protests. Security was tight outside the U.S. consulate in the Chinese city of Chengdu today. Staff inside preparing to leave, that the day after China ordered it to close in response to a U.S. order for China to shut its consulate in Houston. Police officers are there as well. They've gathered and closed off traffic, and the consulate emblem inside the compound was taken down. Staff could be seen moving about. Three removal vans also entered the compound later, and a steady stream of people on the street have been watching what has been going on there. Anti-communist protesters heckle staff emptying the China consulate as well in Houston. Chinese staff departing the Houston consulate to a jeering crowd on Friday after the U.S. had ordered that building closed. U.S. had called it a hub for spying on American companies and researchers. About 100 protesters shouted, "Take back China," denounced the ruling Chinese Communist Party, and waved flags as consulate workers loaded belongings into rental trucks. Of course, that is the latest flashpoint in the dust-up between the United States and China, the debate over the respective consulates, both in China and in Houston. There's also talk of the consulate in New York. President Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, has left prison. He's going to finish his criminal sentence at home. An attorney for Cohen is reporting. That's one day after a judge found that he was sent back behind bars 2 weeks ago as retaliation for plans to publish a book about Trump. He had been returned to prison on July 9th after being furloughed in May because of concerns about the spread of coronavirus. At that time, they had alleged that he had violated some terms of his stay at home and was returned to prison. It's 6:35, time for a check of the traffic and weather on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the Burtonsville area, watch out for an accident now on Briggs-Cheney Road between Fairdale Road and Peach Orchard Road. Several lanes blocked with accident activity, so you may want to avoid the area for the time being. Elsewhere in Maryland, do watch out for some road work right now on northbound Georgia Avenue between Norbeck Road and the ICC in the right lane. And in Springfield, southbound 95 between the Beltway and Backlick Road, there is construction along the left side that is causing some delays. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies to start the weekend. Some patchy fog early this morning. That'll burn off pretty quickly. A stray afternoon shower or storms, not out of the question. Highs around 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the 70s for your Sunday. Plenty of sunshine. It will be hot. Highs back in the mid-90s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Larry O'Connor here for my good friends at Renters Warehouse. They're DC's most respected property manager because they maximize your opportunities and minimize your risk. Now they're delivering even more security with rent protection insurance. In plain English, if your tenants stop paying rent, you can still get paid up to 4 months. It's part of their white glove service option, and it's a fantastic way to protect your cash flow. Whether you own one property or a dozen, Renters Warehouse finds high-quality tenants in just 17 days on average and takes rent collection, maintenance, inspections, and uncertainty off your plate. There's no upfront fees, they'll warranty your renters, and when you choose white glove service with rent protection, even if your tenants default on rent, you can still receive up to 4 months of rent payments. If that's not good enough, Renters Warehouse is also offering 2 months free property management for new customers. Renting is popular in uncertain times, but you want as much certainty as possible. Find it today by going to rwdcnova.com or call 571-489-8134. That's 571-489-8134. Renters Warehouse DC, you'll always have a home with us.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. Glad to have you along. And we are hearing day in and day out about the polls in the swing states like Ohio and Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan and Pennsylvania. And thought we'd get an expert on the topic. Jonathan Jakubowski joins us. He has authored the book Bellwether Blues and has taken a very close look at the swing states, some of the considerations. And we thought we'd have him on this morning. Jonathan, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Rick, thanks for having me on. It's a real pleasure.
Where we are in terms of it being mid-July with a November election, what do we make of these swing state polls that some are showing Joe Biden anywhere from 9 to 12 or 13 points ahead of President Trump? You saw what happened in 2016, so how would you evaluate things as they stand now?
Yeah, to your point, exactly. I would look at how those polls were back in 2016, and then that gives us a much fairer analysis of where things stand, whether that's via bias from the polling entities that are giving the polls, or as I found in Bellwether Blues, there are a lot of blue-collar voters who don't like to tell pollsters how they're going to vote. In fact, they tell them the opposite of who they're going to vote for. So I don't know that we can trust the polls, especially with what we saw in 2016. And it's not I don't think it's a good indication of where voters stand, especially come November.
That said, we also hear a lot about suburban housewives, suburban voters. We saw in 2016 some states like Virginia swing away from the Republican Party, and they voted in Democrats, not only in terms of the presidential race, but also in state races. Where do you sense that the independents and those suburban voters are now as it relates to Donald Trump? And I know that's a bit of a trick question, but just in general.
Yeah, so I think one, even though I don't think we should take the polls home with us and count those as, you know, valid truth, I think that they're important indicators of who the Trump team should be focused on. Any campaign, they should be looking at what segments of the population they're struggling with and then how to message effectively to persuade and win them over. I think they say 4 years in politics is an eternity, so we're 4 months away. I would say it's like a lifetime. We still have a lot to go before we get to November. And while it's going to go by fast, who knows what's going to happen between now and November? Having said that, I think it's really critical that the Trump campaign understands the demographics that they're struggling with and identifies ways to communicate more effectively to those demographics.
Let's look at Ohio as an example. You had the former governor, John Kasich, who was clearly pulled away from President Trump. The current governor, Mike DeWine, very popular. How much sway does a governor of the same party as the presidential nominee, how much sway does he carry in the state?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it varies widely depending upon the governor and the state. What I'll say is I live in the county that decides in the state, which decides the president every 4 years. Wood County is one of a handful of counties. There are only 59 of 3,142 that go with the president pretty much every year. And that's been the case 2000, 2004, 08, 12, and 16. And as I look at the demographics in Wood County, my county, there are a lot of parallels to what was occurring in 16. And then in 18, a lot of those demographics that swung remained with the Republican vote. And that was one of the big questions going into the midterms. Will those blue collar voters that represented the blue wall in Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio, will they stay with the Republican Party? And what we saw in our state of Ohio was they did. And I think that's a very positive sign of that voter base and how they'll vote in 2020.
Where do you see those voters getting their information these days? In other words, here in Washington, we hear all the noise because we're so closely tuned to politics. But in a state like Ohio, or for that matter, anywhere outside of the Beltway, where are voters getting their information and how much attention do they pay to it? In other words, they may not know the hourly machinations of what Trump said this morning and what Pelosi or Schumer said in response to it or Joe Biden. You know, how much information do they get and where do they get it? And how closely did they pay attention to it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think there's been significant distrust with the media establishment. As President Trump always says, you know, fake news media. I mean, I think that has reached the level of pretty much anybody that's engaged in voting recognizes that there are biases coming from a variety of media sources. So given the growth of podcasts, given the growth of non-traditional media sources, most people are looking to those non-traditional media sources, which means usually most voters are probably getting an angle from one side or the other as they look at their Twitter feed, or in conservative cases, maybe look at something that was written that morning on a conservative political talk show. That's where I think most of the voters are getting their information from these days.
Now, you had a scandal this week in Ohio, FBI agents arresting the House Speaker, a Republican, Larry Householder. When you have incidents like that, does it have any long-lasting effect, or is this something that within 2 to 3 weeks people will basically forget and not have any impact on the election?
Well, in Bellwether Blues, I analyze the millennial generation, and what I see within that generation is a lot of skepticism, a lot of distrust. The reason why I named it Blues is they essentially have the blues as they consider the state of political affairs. Crises like that and situations like the one we just saw in the state of Ohio only deepens the distrust, not just amongst the millennial generation, but other generations as well. The question is, how will that translate into 2020? Well, one thing I would say is you mentioned John Kasich earlier and his support of Biden. Well, his lead guy, Matt Borges, who was the Ohio GOP chair, created a super PAC in support of Joe Biden. And the speaker that just went down, Larry Householder, with the scandal, he was his own man. He was not aligned with Republicans. He was really kind of playing both sides in order to win speakership and authority. So in this particular case, I don't think it's going to have significant ramifications because of the cross-party lines that were engaged in this element. But this is where I think it's critical for those conservatives out there asking the question, how can I influence the mind of somebody that's in the middle that is skeptical, disillusioned, and frustrated with the system as norm? And since everybody has these kind of biased news sources, my answer is authentic relationship. We have to step into people's lives and have these genuine conversations to help them understand how policies will play their way out in people's lives for the future to come.
And one final question. What is your sense of the alternative methods of voting due to COVID-19? We're talking about mail-in ballots primarily. How do you think people feel about it, and what's your sense of how secure they may be?
Well, I think people feel like it should be safe, but it should also be lawful. It should be safe and it should be legal. We want to make sure that it's hard to cheat, but it's easy to vote. And that's why states like Ohio, I think we have a very, very much a common sense approach to individuals applying for an absentee ballot. And when you apply for the absentee ballot, you'll have tremendous amounts of time to fill that out and get that turned in. And it's a safe way of going about making sure that no one can cheat because you have to validate your identity. Whereas states like California, where they're doing just full out sending voting applications to all these homes, where in some counties you have more registered voters than people that live in the county, that is a case where you can create some major potential fraud. So mail-in voting, if done right with an absentee application like our state, if you have laws against ballot harvesting like we have in the state of Ohio, that's where there's a lot of common sense approaches to that to make sure that it is hard to cheat but easy to vote.
What would your recommendation be to a political strategist who may be listening to the show this morning about how to communicate?
Well, as I assess the millennial generation, what I found is this might be the loneliest generation in America. All day long, millennials are behind their screens, they're on their phones, they're in front of their computers, they're on apps. They've lost the art and the engagement of authentic relationship, which is face-to-face. And what I found is because of that, face-to-face relationship carries immeasurably more value. So anybody out there asking, what can I do to be engaged? I think the best thing you can possibly do is build a relationship with a millennial in your life, somebody that's younger than you, maybe a niece, a nephew, a neighbor, somebody that you know, and begin to have authentic conversations with them. Don't just go in to convince them or persuade them. Also listen. And over time, as you develop the currency of trust, you're going to earn the right to be heard. And when that time comes, be ready to explain to them why voting in the conservative direction has the best opportunity for their lives.
Somebody ought to be paying you $500 an hour. Jonathan Jakubowski, he is the author of Bellwether Blues. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, thanks so much. It was really an honor.
6:47, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Coming up next, we will talk with Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter. But first, a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Watch out for some accident activity in the Burtonsville area affecting Briggs Cheney Road in both directions between Fairdale Road and Pete's Orchard Road. At least a couple of lanes blocked through that accident scene. Also, you will find some slow-going traffic right now through a work zone on 95 southbound from the Beltway to Backlick Road. Along the left side, watch out for delays there. And in Annandale, keep in mind that the Beltway Express Lane's northbound between the Beltway Express Lane entrance on the south end and Lee Highway closed for construction until about 8 o'clock this morning. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies to start the weekend. Some patchy fog early this morning. That'll burn off pretty quickly. A stray afternoon shower or storms, not out of the question. Highs around 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the 70s. For your Sunday, plenty of sunshine. It will be hot. Highs back in the mid-90s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
74 degrees, 6:48, Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Thanks for being with us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler, and at a point a month or two ago, we thought maybe we were getting past COVID-19. Obviously, we're not. We're seeing surges in states all around the country, more precautions being taken in the Washington metro area. And we're joined by Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter. She's an internal medicine physician at California Pacific Medical Center, and you've seen her on NBC and CBS news programs. Dr. Ungerleiter, thank you for being with us this morning. We are hearing about a number of things when it comes to COVID-19. The most positive news this week is reported progress on vaccines. And from what you've seen, how do you feel about the progress that's being reported?
Well, I think we're making progress. So I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, a number of vaccine trials are happening around the world, and some have shown that the vaccine worked to trigger an immune response, which is quite positive with few or mild side effects. I think at this stage, we still don't know whether the levels of immunity that we're seeing from these vaccines would actually protect against infection. So I think this is a small step, you know, in the right direction with these early vaccine trials that are reporting early data. But if we look at history, you know, lots of vaccines that look good out of phase one, unfortunately, don't turn out to be good products. So I think we still have a long road ahead before we have a safe, effective vaccine available. So right now, people should be focused a lot on their behavior in terms of thinking about how to stop or slow the spread of COVID.
There's a lot of information, and along with information comes misinformation. And one of the things we've heard is that if you've had the virus, you're immune from the virus in the future. Is that true?
The answer is we don't really know. So this is a brand new virus. It's only been around for a handful of months. Typically, we need to keep watch over several more months and even years to get a clear picture of the real lasting immune response for viruses. You know, for a few viruses like measles, immunity comes from longer-lived immune cells that continually churn out antibodies for a lifetime. That doesn't happen with coronaviruses. We're seeing antibodies fading after recovery from COVID-19 over weeks and months, which is normal. We also know that mild cases, for which many, many people are having with COVID, produce fewer antibodies, while more severe ones make more of them. So, for example, there was a Chinese study that showed that 40% of asymptomatic patients had undetectable levels of antibodies 8 weeks out from their infection. So the takeaway here is that we're learning more every day about the novel virus, and people really need to stay tuned on this.
We're hearing that more and more people are recovering. They've been treated with various drugs. But what about some of the lingering effects of COVID-19 after you're past that serious stage? We're hearing that people suffer all kinds of different lasting effects.
Unfortunately, that's true. And we're looking at the long-term impacts of this disease, especially in young adults. I think we need to recognize that even though young people specifically are less likely to get a severe illness and require hospitalization from COVID, there are longer-term effects that are emerging for some people with initial very minor symptoms. And these can be, you know, impacts on organ systems like the brain, the lungs, the immune system, the kidneys, and even the blood. So the takeaway here is that, you know, surviving COVID doesn't necessarily mean a symptom-free life. So taking as many precautions as possible and modifying behavior, of course, to stay away from crowded places, you know, wearing a mask and hand washing is so critical for everyone right now.
So we heard about the flu-like symptoms early on, and if you had a difficulty breathing or a pains in your chest, that was something you should immediately go out and get tested. With more information that you're finding out, are there other symptoms of the disease? We've heard like a loss of taste or smell.
That's right. You know, everybody has a different presentation of COVID, we're finding. These symptoms typically appear 2 to 14 days after exposure to the virus. And as you mentioned, you know, common things are fever or chills, cough, shortness of breath, the fatigue or muscle aches that you might, you know, be used to with getting the flu, a headache, a new loss of taste or smell, congestion and sore throat. And then some people are getting nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. Of course, people should seek emergency medical care if they have these symptoms, plus, you know, severe trouble breathing, any persistent pain or pressure in the chest, if they're confused or can't stay awake, or if they're, you know, their lips turn blue or their face turns blue. Those are sort of the warning signs to get emergency medical care.
We've all been cooped up. We want to get out. We want to travel. And then we're looking at school ahead in the fall. So if you could do some quick recommendations for how to stay safe.
You know, evidence suggests that this virus can actually cross the length of a room and can potentially stay viable in the air for hours. So you can get sick from someone who's in the same restaurant or on a plane with you. So avoiding places like gyms and spending time with people that you don't live with is really best right now. I think what people need to know is that just because restaurants and bars and other places are open doesn't mean it's safe to go there. That's sort of the tricky thing, is we assume that if some place is open that, of course, it's, you know, an okay place to go. And that's just not the case. You know, the risk is highest in these crowded indoor spaces with poor ventilation. People need to know that physical distancing and hand washing actually aren't enough. We need to wear masks and stay outdoors, ideally with people that you live with, or better yet, you know, stay home if you can bear to do that. For people that want to still travel, you know, there are tips like, of course, staying away from coronavirus hotspots, you know, reading up on travel restrictions wherever you're going, and know the risk status of people that you're going to be traveling with. Older adults like your grandparents and people with underlying health conditions need to limit their travel because they're much more likely to get very sick from COVID-19. So, you know, I think as we're looking ahead at the rest of the summer, you know, and the fall, and thinking about whether schools can reopen, it's quite tricky. We know kids don't become sick as often from COVID, but we still don't know how often they transmit the virus to adults. So the decisions around schools reopening are just so challenging and are really dependent on the COVID prevalence in individual areas. And I think that individual families need to be weighing the risks and benefits of in-person learning, which is hard to do. But asking the questions of, does your child have an underlying health condition? Is anyone in your household of older age? Or do they have serious chronic medical problems? And are your local schools taking every precaution to keep kids safe? These are the kinds of questions that everybody should be asking.
From what you have seen in the testing so far, and I know this is very difficult with the numbers because you can look at numbers a number of different ways, but from the test results that you've seen, is there any handle on how many people are asymptomatic for each person that has symptoms and has the virus?
I think what I can tell you is that we know up to 40%. It's looking like 40% of people with COVID-19 are largely asymptomatic, which is a huge percentage. And so if you think about it, we don't know always who, you know, has the virus. And so treating everyone that you encounter as if both you and they could potentially have COVID-19 is really the best way to behave.
You're at California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco. We've heard about the surging in California. What are you seeing at your hospital?
You know, it's interesting in that San Francisco isn't being quite as hard hit as Los Angeles. You know, early on in the pandemic, California was moving in the right direction, and now our state as a whole has skyrocketing cases. I think people became complacent. The state opened up too soon, frankly. We didn't have the virus under control, and, of course, not enough people have been wearing masks and social distancing. So hospitals here are really struggling to keep up with the surge in COVID patients, largely Southern California. But there are places throughout, you know, the middle of the state and Northern California where, you know, it's crowded with very sick patients. And these aren't just older adults. The average age of a hospitalized patient this month in our county hospital was 41 years old. So these are much younger people who are getting very sick.
Very helpful information. Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter at California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco. Thank you very much, doctor.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's 6:58. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. The 7 o'clock news is coming up. Then we're back with John Gizzi. We'll talk with Gordon Chang, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland. Stay with us.
Have you met a true hero lately? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and I've been thinking about heroes that I work with. Take Reese, for example, one of our store managers. Reese served in Afghanistan and sustained significant injuries when his MRAP vehicle was disabled by an IED. He was told he would never walk without a cane. However, after he was fitted with Good Feet arch supports, he was able to walk without a limp and without a cane. His service as a manager is exemplary, and we are proud to have Reese on the Good Feet team. The story doesn't stop there, though. Reese fell in love and got married to a beautiful nurse named Erica. And during this pandemic, who was on the front lines taking care of COVID-19 patients? You guessed it, Erica. Heroes tend to stick together. The Good Feet store says thank you to all of our heroes. We especially say thank you to the heroes among us, such as Reese and Erica, for the many ways they have served us all. Come by the Good Feet store and see what Good Feet Art Supports can do for you. You never know. You might bump into a hero.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.